Hey, everybody. I just wanted to mention this before the show starts that Clay, who is guest hosting this episode, and you guys know him because he's been a frequent guest host of many of the episodes of the Penske podcast. Clay is out at the Emerald City Comic Con this weekend, which is March 2nd to the 5th, 2017. It's out in Seattle, Washington. He is out there plugging and pitching and selling his new comic Redline he did the art for. It was written by Neil Holman, who is a producer and art director for the FX show Archer that you might be familiar with. Anyway, Clay did some of the art. He's going to be out there talking about it. So he's going to be out at the Emerald City Comic Con. If any of you guys are out there, March 2nd to 5th, stop by, say hello to Clay. You know, buy some Star Trek stuff, all that good stuff. But anyway, check it out. Clay's out there at the Emerald City Comic Con. That said, let's get on with the show.
The final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise.
Clay, you look a little bit tense. Do you mind if I just pull out random strands of your hair to calm you down? We can look in the mirror at each other.
Wes, do or do not, but do it because you want to.
I was trying to remember who Montalban reminds me of. I feel like there's like a. I guess he's the kind of the Stay Thirsty, my friends. He kind of reminds me of the most interesting man in the world a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good call. Whoever he is, he clearly read that book, The Game, the one that's all about like acting
women.
Horrible towards women in order to get them to sleep with you, because it works 100% for him in this episode.
Guys, if you didn't know, this is the Penske Podcast, and we're going to be talking about Space Seed, which was the 24th episode of the first season. It teleplay goes to Gene L. Kuhn and Cary Wilbur. Story credit goes to Cary Wilbur, directed by Mark Daniels. In this one, the Enterprise discovers an ancient spaceship carrying genetically enhanced supermen from late 20th century Earth and their enigmatic warlord leader, Khan Noonien Singh. So,
good
Clay,
name.
Yeah, great, great name. We are going to talk about this one. We're going to play an audio clip. Me and Clay are going to come back and talk about Space Seed.
I'm sorry, Captain. I was lost in thought. My door. Locked from outside, a guard posted.
Unusual treatment for Khan Noonien Singh.
Excellent. You identified me with your computer system, I imagine.
I'd like those answers now. First, the purpose of your starflight.
A new life, a chance to build the world. Other things I doubt you would understand.
Why? Because I'm not a product of controlled genetics?
Captain, although your abilities intrigue me, you are quite honestly inferior, mentally, physically. In fact, I am surprised how little improvement there has been in human evolution. Oh, there has been technical advancement, but how little man himself has changed.
So, Clay, before we get into Space Seed, I wanted to talk about something that has kind of been interesting to me. As you know, I'm running through all the episodes that we don't podcast and doing my ratings for them. I do like a little written review. People can go to thepenskepodcast.com to find that.
Glad for punishment.
Yeah, but I've been looking at other reviewers and what they say. Mm-hmm. And there's one big difference I've noticed between TNG in TOS in terms of ratings. And it's the fact that outside of the like given classics, the ratings for the TOS episodes are all over the place. People don't really have consistency that TNG had in terms of like critical reviews about them.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you had any thoughts about why that is, because I've liked a couple of the episodes that people say this is a bad episode. And I don't really get why there's not as much consistency across the board in terms of what people are looking for or what they expect from these things.
That's really kind of interesting, because you would expect it to kind of be the other way around. Like, you would think that after, as time went on, opinions would sort of like even out on everything.
Right.
Or like, you know, when one thing becomes a classic, then, you know, people know it's a classic going in. You know what I mean? Like it kind of something that's known as a classic becomes just a classic because people have said it enough times, right, regardless of the actual quality. So that actually kind of surprises me that it is so all over the place.
And I think that I don't know if it's – and I think maybe – I was trying to think about it. I just wanted to bring that up because I think it ties into Space Seed. And I don't – I think Space Seed is like a very competent episode, but it has, in my opinion – and it's highly regarded in all the reviews that I was looking at. But in my opinion, it has like all these TOS problems that kind of make me knock it down a peg. And and I guess that – I guess that I kind of have to look past these TOS things at this point because they're not going to do it. Like the big thing is that it's become clearly obvious to me that a lot of TOS episodes are they have this big sort of broad concept and they don't deal with it at all in the episode except for maybe like 5 minutes at the end where Kirk screams about like we have logic and emotions and this is the way. And the rest of the episode is just kind of like a pretty generic adventure story that's tacked onto it. And I feel like TNG did a better job of, you know, they'd fail occasionally, but they did a better job of trying to talk about what they were actually saying, what the idea was.
Sometimes they would fail spectacularly.
They would do that. And Space Seed, to me, it fits right into that. I think that the script here is pretty tight in general. I would make a few changes, but I think it has a... It has the fact that it doesn't really want to deal with what the issue is here, which is that they found some genetic supermen. And it also has TOS's thing of anytime they need someone to fall on the sword, they choose a woman to do it.
Yeah, big time in this one.
So what'd you think about Space Seed?
Yeah, it's okay. I always... This one, I've seen it a couple times, and it's always not as good as I want it to be. Because obviously it's the greatest setup episode for a sequel ever probably in history.
I'd have to imagine the way it ends, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, obviously being you could cut the end of this movie into the beginning of The Wrath of Khan and it would be just fantastic.
Right.
With Spock saying, hey, you know, what would be real interesting would be to stop by and see what these guys are doing in a few years, just to see how things shake out. But the thing that bugs me about it is I feel like they don't really make a stand on whether or not Khan is a villain.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Because he's... Well, first of all, I found it kind of hilarious that nobody... the first scene with Spock doing research, they're like, I have no idea who this guy could possibly be. But then later on, not only do they have a picture of him from the 1990s, but he also apparently ruled a quarter of Earth.
Yes. For 5 years, yeah.
And also Scotty knows who he is just by name. So I don't know. I thought that was a little weak. But he also... I just lost my train of thought. Damn it. You keep talking. I forgot.
The thing about the Khan, that's kind of a TOS trope that I'm learning. Like they in this pre-internet world, apparently it's like a huge revelation when you reveal who anybody is. I thought it was funny that he also just called himself Khan. He didn't disguise his name whatsoever.
Yeah. Yes.
I
know what I was going to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
The other thing that bothers me is it's just that they he basically tries to murder everybody on the ship, and then at the end when they stop him, he's just sort of like, "Well, I had to try." So how about like there's no real animosity toward him or him towards anybody else at the end.
Yeah,
it's just like, well, you know. You had me in prison, so I had to at least try to break out once. Or, you know, it's just a really weird vibe given what he has just done. And also the fact that he has brainwashed that woman somehow.
Yes. Which we'll get to. I think it's...
This episode should be called Space Dick. for multiple reasons.
The thing that I always kind of think is funny, or maybe not always, but I thought it was kind of apropos of today's political world. It reminded me a bit of the Trump Russia thing, where there's this scene in this thing where they're sort of describing to each other in the conference room who Khan is and what he's done.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
Spock's like, why do you people admiring him? And they're like, well, he ran a real great state. And Spock's like, there was no freedom in this nation that he ran. They're like, yeah, but still, you know, he's a real good. Yeah. He's a good guy. I don't understand.
I believe the line was, you can be against him, but still admire him.
Yes. You can be against him, but still admire him. And Khan is clearly a bad person, right? Like, I don't understand why the show is trying to make it seem that he's not a bad person.
Yeah. Like, the reason that he and all of his followers are in space is because they were escaping, like, war crimes, right?
Oh, were they escaping? I thought that
maybe not. Maybe I missed that. But let's put it this way. The reason that they are in space is not because everything was great on Earth involving them.
Yes, I'd agree with that. I almost got the impression that they were because it's the Botany Bay. I thought it was like they were imprisoned and sent off into space.
Well, doesn't Spock say something like, if that was the case, then there's a lot of more efficient ways to handle them, basically shoot them or something.
Right. Yes. Is that before he learns who they are? I can't quite remember.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't. Either way, I guess it doesn't really matter, because I guess it wouldn't make sense in my way, because they're not particularly imprisoned in the ship. They can wake up.
Right. Right.
So maybe it is just them escaping. And then stretching and doing some Tai Chi and everything like that. But yeah,
that's my favorite part. He has they have wake up Tai Chi, but he also has superpowered strength Tai Chi for when he really needs to open a door.
It reminded me of, do you remember in the Hunted, the Super Soldier TNG episode where the guy Tai Chi's out of the transporter?
No, really?
Well, we were.
I don't know if I saw that one.
No, you did. We were laughing about it. It's the one where he does like they try to.
I did see it.
It's the one.
There's so many episodes. How do you even remember the ones that I saw?
It's the one with the James Cromwell is the leader of
planet. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and that guy, he does like Tai Chi and he explodes out of the transporter beam and somehow escapes onto the ship.
I'm glad we laughed about that, because it sounds hilarious.
But Space Seed, yeah, do you think it's a flaw of TOS that they never really want to embrace what they're talking about? Like in terms of this episode, Khan is supposed to be a genetically engineered, super intelligent and super strong person who Kirk outsmarts and beats the shit out of at the end of the episode.
Yeah, that's his super strength is a bit of an issue, not only in this, but they never even bring that up ever.
Right.
Like in Wrath of Khan, he's not super strong. Well, that's neither here nor there, but... Yeah, but his super strength is he's super strong until he's not stronger than a pipe across the back, apparently. But then again, who is?
In one of the most obvious stunt double fight scenes, I think, that I've seen in a long time. And
I know. I wish they had a shot like they just cut over to Shatner and Montalban just like sharing a bowl of popcorn watching the stuntmen do it.
So do you think it's a problem that TOS doesn't really care to embrace these ideas? And some of the ideas are like really good, and I'm surprised that the episodes don't go whole hog with them.
Well, for this one, what part of the idea do you wish they expanded on? Specifically the eugenics thing, or like, because I feel like there's actually kind of a lot of moving parts in this one as far as like avenues they could go down. So what would you have preferred they do?
I would have had Khan take over the ship earlier and played up that sort of angle. They really just spend a lot of time kind of getting to know him. And getting to know him is not that important until you realize what his ultimate goal is to do. So I don't feel like you gain a lot by sort of just acknowledging the fact that there was a eugenics war in the past and that these are some of the people. And, you know, even once the crew starts to realize who he is, they don't particularly do anything security-wise about him, even though they acknowledge that he's super smart and super strong and he's studying the ship manuals in his spare time and stuff like that.
Yeah, I had kind of an issue with that, because I would like to think that Kirk would be smart enough for when the mysterious space person who wakes up out of a 200-year coma says, hey, you know, I'm really into engineering. Could I just casually peruse the blueprints of your ship?
Yeah.
That he would, like, give him the wrong blueprints or something. You know, like, he doesn't know what the outside of the ship looks like. Just give him the blueprints to, like, a Romulan ship.
Yeah, the Reliant or something.
Right? Yeah, the Reliant.
We can foreshadow it. I think that, I think it's just that kind of thing. Like, was there any avenue you were thinking that you'd want to take the episode and they didn't go that direction, or?
Well, I think it just comes down to me that, I think it just comes down to that they don't really make a stand on Khan as a bad guy. Or, like, because, you know, like you're saying, they have the whole thing about the eugenics war and all of this stuff about World War III on Earth and super soldiers and all this kind of crap. But if you take that out, literally nothing changes about the plot of the show.
Right.
It's just backstory, and it gives you a reason. Well, I mean, yeah, you know, I was going to say it gives you a reason for the ship historian to fall in love with him. But, I mean, he could be just a normal dude. I mean, there's nothing special. That doesn't add anything to his character.
Right, yeah.
You know, it just – all it does is it gives you this backstory that all of these guys were basically Napoleons, or as what do they say?
Yeah, they're 80 Napoleons and some other person, right?
Yeah, what is it? Superior intellect breeds superior ambition,
yes,
or something like that.
Yeah.
But yet, like, you could just have him be just a generic bad guy. Like, there's nothing special added to that. Like, so I think, yeah, the fact that they don't use.
The fact that there's no, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like, are you saying that the fact that his backstory sort of takes up so much time and ultimately doesn't come down to anything is?
Yeah, because, yeah, so like, they explain that he is a genetically modified superhuman in this race of genetically modified superhumans who took over the Earth and, you know, were. I assume they are implying that they were bad guys.
Yes,
that this was not a great thing that happened.
Yeah,
but I think it's that scene where they're just kind of like, we can be against him but admire him. That's kind of throwing me off because they're not making any sort of distinction over whether or not what he's doing is bad.
Right.
I don't really know if I'm articulating this very well, but it's just there's something. Yeah, I don't know. It's tough for me to articulate.
Do you feel like I mean, I guess that the there's a few things that kind of go on here. Like, A, I don't really understand why you can't talk Khan down. Like,
yeah.
I don't understand what Khan hopes to achieve. I guess he says that he wants to steal the Enterprise and take over a planet for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know why it's in his nature that he has to be conquering people. You'd think he could just go with his merry band of super soldiers and take, like, an uninhabited planet, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that he's just... He's violent without reason, yet for some reason the crew seems to think that he's still an admirable person.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And I don't understand why they do that. And like you were saying, I don't understand why they take so much time getting to that point. I would have had him just take over the ship immediately, and I would have gotten rid of the Marla storyline immediately. And this could tie into our "Hey, it was the '60s" segment, but
yeah.
I think this woman and this character is probably the worst part of this episode.
It's real bad, and it's not just badly done. It's just like it's a bad look.
Yeah, it's a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, even
it also she gains him nothing through this. You know,
right,
he doesn't use her at all. The only thing I think I remember her doing is that she sticks up the transporter chief. She's like, "Hey, put him up."
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
the extent of her helping him.
Yeah, her. I mean, she has no like working knowledge of the ship to help him or anything.
Yep.
And also, she betrays him.
Yes.
At the end, so why would he want to keep her around? You know. Well, and like, but
I guess
even
by the end, he's supposed to. I guess he's fallen in love with her by the end of it.
I guess.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as much as like, it's clear that he's using her.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, apparently there's like a whirlwind romance that we just don't see.
Even to the point, it's so obvious he's using her that Bones and Kirk have a conversation about how he's using her.
Yeah.
In that dinner party, they're like, Kirk's like, well, what do you think of their relationship? And McCoy says, like, you can't regulate that. And he says, well, what's your official opinion? And he says something along the lines of, like, she's drawn to his magnetic personality.
Yeah.
As Kirk doesn't decide to put an end to it there, he sort of awkwardly chastises her in front of McCoy at a certain point. But that's been a theme in these past couple episodes. Any chance the lead characters get to sort of chastise a lower-ranking female officer, they do it. And it's very weird. It's a very...
Yeah, that's not great.
Yeah, it's a very weird look. And a lot of it doesn't have anything to do with the story. Just like this doesn't have anything to do with
the
story.
Well, you remember but when they're beaming over to the Botany Bay, when she shows up to the transporter room, Kirk shoots her a look like he's like, oh, great.
Yep.
A fucking girl. You know, it's really weird.
We didn't do a podcast, but you should check out, just for this one scene, there's an episode called Dagger of the Mind, where it's the same thing. Kirk is waiting in the transporter room for one of his, like a lieutenant or whatever, to accompany him down to a planet. And she shows up, and apparently the backstory is that they basically boned during the Starship's Christmas party, and it's incredibly awkward for Kirk, and that's kind of that's the storyline.
Don't you hate that, guys? That's really weird.
This passes it off, and you know, I will say that the best part of this, Montalban is probably the best part of this episode.
He's pretty awesome.
He is very awesome. He's definitely charismatic. He speaks very, very powerfully. He's super effective in this role, and I think he does a really good job of conveying his supposed superiority without outright saying it. He does say it at one point that you are all inferior to me.
Yeah.
But he does a good job of, you know, when the beat I really love is when he asks Kirk his name and Kirk tells him. And then Kirk sort of waits for his response, and he doesn't say anything. Mm-hmm. And then he's just staring at him. He says, and what's your name? It's little stuff like that that I appreciate.
Yeah, he's the master. He's a really good manipulator. He's really good manipulator. They lay it on kind of thick when it comes to the woman. But he's very comes across as very powerful without having to monologue about it.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And he gives what I think is McCoy gets a really good scene where when Khan wakes up and grabs him by the neck, holds a knife to his neck.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought that scene was great. McCoy is a badass.
So much better than that doctor from The Cage. Yeah, I think that was that's a good moment for that character. It says a lot about him. It's just, you can either cut my throat or you can choke me out. You have to choose one of them and do it.
Yeah, yeah. When he suggests... or gives him a recommendation on where to cut.
Yes.
that's pretty badass.
And, yeah, I guess it illuminates the Khan character. The Khan character respects that kind of talk and allows it to happen. Yeah, I guess I do want to talk about the woman a little bit more. The woman does not appear in Wrath of Khan, right? She dies before the movie starts.
They imply that she died, yeah.
Are you a little bit surprised that they come back to Khan in Wrath of Khan, like they chose this character? It's so obvious that I'd have a hard time believing that they set it up, right? But
right,
let me collect my thoughts here. The name of the episode is Space Seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is only a reference to the very last scene of the show where they say that they've planted a seed on this planet. Let's see what happens with it.
Yeah.
It's a weird episode title for what is essentially... like a non sequitur almost at the end, where that didn't have anything to do with what the plot was.
Right.
It's kind of just an offhand remark by Spock. So I don't think that they were planning for a sequel, but at the same time, it's built to bring this character back.
Yeah. If I had to guess, I would say they probably weren't planning to do it. I mean, could be wrong. I don't know. But yeah, honestly, I didn't even put together that the title was in reference to the last 5 minutes, but yeah, you're right. Because I was thinking, it's like, Space Seed, that's a cool, it's, like, it's, I thought it was another, in the line of good titles, but didn't really apply very well to the episode.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, I guess that's pretty good. Honestly, if I had to guess, my theory is that when Nicholas Meyer was hired to do Wrath of Khan, he confesses that he didn't know really anything about Star Trek,
yeah,
which kind of ended up being a plus for him. I have a theory he probably watched a bunch of episodes and saw this one and was like, oh, that's a really good place to pick it up. But I have no idea if that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that...
I will say it is kind of weird that they come back to him, because he's not... you know, the way that Wrath of Khan works is that Khan is so thirsty for revenge, but Kirk, towards Kirk, but Kirk didn't really... It's not like he just, you know, jettisoned him out of the bottom of the ship as they were passing. You know, like, right. They had, like, a mutual agreement about... there's a little bit of a thing, you know, the Milton drop from Khan. Obviously, it's, you know, it's not ideal, but he'll take it over being subservient to everybody.
Yes, yeah.
But it's not like he's kind of cool with it, and it's not like Kirk left them on some awful planet. Like, they particularly found a planet that was inhabitable, but it was just rough and it was going to be hard. You know,
yeah.
It's like he says, it's like they dropped him off in Australia.
Yes.
I mean, Australia, I'm sure, was probably very difficult when they first showed up. But the point is, the stuff that happens in Wrath of Khan to make Khan so angry is not Kirk's fault whatsoever.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's that's a weird way that they leave it off in this episode. Like you're saying, it's kind of a gentleman's agreement at the end. Like, they just kind of mutually shake hands and part ways. And Khan's not in shackles or anything, you know, at the end of it. He's just kind of, he walks out. He's like, well, I'll go to this planet with my guys and we'll see you in a little bit later.
Yeah. If the end of this episode had been Kirk, I wish they had done this now. I'm thinking about it. If it had been Kirk outsmarting Khan and, like, getting his guys to believe that they were doing X when actually they were doing Y, and the Y ended up being Kirk hitting a button and dropping them off on some planet,
yep,
jettisoning them from the Enterprise, and then, you know, Bones or Spock says, like, oh, you just shot them to their doom, and he's like, well, no, it's a livable planet, it's going to be tough, but, you know,
right,
X, Y, and Z, like, that sort of thing is a lot more, like, that would be a much better setup for a return, like a vengeance return from Khan.
Yes, yeah.
Because he's bested by Kirk, and he's left in a place that seems like it's awful, even though Kirk actually was, you know, doing him a favor.
Right.
And whereas, yeah, here it's just like they kind of, like, agree to disagree about who should run the ship, and they just drop him off on some planet that is... You know, it's going to be fine.
Yeah. It's going to be a little bit rough, but they're super smart. They'll take care of it. Yeah. I don't know. It's not like I think it's a bad episode in and of itself. Like, I think that it has a few questions that I would want answered. And maybe, like, I think everything makes sense relatively outside of the fact that, you know, that you bring the character back and, the sort of quibbles that we mentioned before, but I think in terms of just like an episode of TV, I think it works fine. One question for you: why was Khan wearing a security uniform in that one scene? Did you notice?
No idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess he just needed a shirt.
it wasn't
before
one.
Before he went back to the Botany Bay and everybody got those sweet tracksuits that they had in storage, I guess.
They're very very cult-like with their uniforms and their Tai Chi and everything like that.
I loved that when they had their little formal dinner, he just happened to find, like, this sick neo-Indian, like, gold jacket that didn't require a shirt to wear.
And if you noticed, did you... I guess that... You know how I mentioned in that other podcast we did about the... Riley was eating Starbursts in engineering. I guess that's just the food now. It's in every single episode, those little Starburst things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like I don't remember Into Darkness all that well, but
neither did the people who wrote it.
Into Darkness, there's something about Khan trying to protect the other people, right? Like he's trying to protect his other soldiers or something like that. And there's nothing like really here. I don't know if they would need that kind of motivation or if they needed to bump that in or something. It doesn't really matter.
I've been trying to think about, you know, what I was saying before that I couldn't really articulate. And I think it's that they don't make a stand, not specifically about Khan, but about eugenics in general.
Yeah.
So, like I was saying, his backstory is completely inconsequential to his character. But if they had brought it up and used it as an excuse to talk about the concept of eugenics and selective breeding and, you know, it being not a great thing, and it also, if he's this evil mastermind or whatever like that, you know, they could lean into, you know, you don't always get what you pay for kind of, you know, like you can selectively breed to your best intentions, but you're never going to fully know what you're going to get or something like that.
Yeah. Would that have made more sense if instead of a historian, you have a geneticist who falls for him or something? Is that just moving the ball unnecessarily?
Yeah, I think that's just moving the ball unnecessarily. I mean, I feel like I don't think you need to have like a showdown of ideals or something about it, but it seems like something that Spock and McCoy and Kirk would talk about at length
more than
they do, instead of just being like, yeah, remember those eugenics wars that I'm going to just mention and not really talk about?
Those are pretty crazy. Yeah. Yeah. I think I agree with that. It's a weird episode, I think. I think we'll play an audio clip. Me and Clay are going to come back. Going to give our final thoughts and ratings for Space Seed.
It's a shame for a good Scotsman to admit it, but I'm not up on Milton.
The statement Lucifer made when he fell into the pit. It is better to rule in hell than serve in heaven.
Huh. Would be interesting, Captain, to return to that world in 100 years and learn what crop had sprung from the seed you planted today.
Yes, Mr. Spock. It would indeed.
This is one of the episodes I watched for. I watched the original effects on it instead of the sort of remastered version.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and you had asked me before in one of the episodes what I thought about the remastered stuff. I still like the remastered stuff, although the original stuff has a kind of a charm to it too.
Yeah. The more that I've been watching it, I wish they had passed over like a distress filter or something, because like a lot of the ship shots just seem too clean.
Yes, and that's maybe the one thing, the older original shots of the ships moving, there is something weird going on. Like it's a little bit too grainy in a lot of the shots, or a little bit too dark. But the remakes don't always do it shot for shot. Like
they change it a bit.
Yeah, they take a little bit of creative liberty with how they want the ships to move and things like that. And I do think that they look a little bit too artificial. It needs like a filter over it or something to tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, I think so too.
But the on the other hand, the phaser shots and everything look much much better.
I guess I didn't even think about them redoing that stuff. But yeah, that makes sense.
And the text over the screens is like the biggest part to me. Like
the Star Trek
thing is just much more vibrant and clear in the new ones. Mm-hmm. But anyway, would you our scale of 1 to 5? What are you going to give Space Seed?
I'm going to give this one 3.
All right.
I think The Wrath of Khan is one of the best movies ever made. I'm just going to put it out there. I think it's just a fantastic movie. I think the story is great. You don't need to have seen this episode for it to work. And you know, arguably, it works better if you have.
Right. Yeah.
So I feel like this one might get a little bit of a bump from a lot of people just because of the Khan factor.
Yeah.
Because after you said that, I was thinking about it. It's like, if you polled Star Trek fans at the time and said, you know, what would you like to see a sequel of? What episode would you like to see a sequel of? What character would you like to see come back for the movie? Do you think a lot of people would say Khan?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I mean, it's great that they did what they did with him, but I don't know. I think the episode is fine. It's got a couple good ideas, but they don't really fall through with it. And the stuff with the women is really bad.
Yeah.
I will say, however, I am really getting a new appreciation for how good the Spock and Kirk and McCoy stuff is.
Yes.
Because like right off the bat, the first scene in this episode, I think it's the first scene with
on the bridge,
on the bridge with Spock and Kirk is great.
Where it's the one where Kirk's in his captain's chair and they're sort of the devil and the angel on his shoulders.
Yeah, yeah. It's really good. Like their chemistry is just so good, and it, you know, that's really the heart of the show is those guys, and they do a fantastic job. And even so, I mean, later on, to a lesser extent, but in an equally great scene, I really like that dinner scene.
Yes,
where you know. Spock is asking him all the questions, and then Khan recognizes it as a strategy move.
Yes.
I like that stuff a lot. I wish they get into that stuff more in the movie. Like, for me, I can see where someone would watch this and figure out a way or see stuff in here that would be compelling to move forward with, because I think there's some really good stuff in it. I like that scene a lot. In the movie, they get into that. Like they're never on screen together in the movie.
Right.
They only see each other over, you know, ship communications in like the last 5 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's much more of a chess game. And I appreciate that more than, you know, I understand the show, they need their gratuitous ass beating. And I understand that you need to it's tough to have this show end in a chess match every time.
Right, yeah.
But I feel like this is one that could have really benefited from Kirk outthinking Khan. Not to go on too much of a tangent here at the end, but one thing that I can't stand is specifically in a lot of comic books, but specifically Superman, where the climax of a Superman story is Superman just punches harder than the other guy.
Yep.
I'm always a lot more interested if you can have your character win by outthinking the bad guy. Especially if you have a character who is overpowered, whether that's Superman or, in this case, Khan, the villain. I mean, that should be the sequence where Kirk needs to think, because he can't beat Khan hand-to-hand.
Right.
Khan took a phaser out of his hands and bent it in half.
I actually thought that was poorly shot as well.
Oh, it looks terrible, yeah. It looks like it's made out of taffy or something.
And it doesn't look like he's actually crushing it all that much. It looks like he's slightly bending it a little bit. It's not as impressive as I was hoping.
Yeah, but like he does that right before they get into a fist fight. Khan should punch through Kirk's chest.
Yes, he should.
There's no reason that Kirk should be able to beat him straight up man to man.
See, I'd almost have the overthinking thing is interesting too, because Khan is supposed to be smarter than him. You know, like
he's smarter, but he's also more prideful.
That's true. Yeah.
And that's how they take him down in the movie. His pride gets the better of him. And I think that's, at least I think that's how they do it, if I remember it correctly. And I think that's the more interesting way to go here, because that way you're beating him on a different level of his supposed, he comes off as believing himself to be the best, and that's what you use to defeat him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe it would have been a little bit of a darker thing if Kirk was forced to use MacGyver or Marla, whatever her name is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like if you're going to throw her plot in, at least have Kirk do something somewhat ethically dubious with her to mm-hmm. cause Khan to lose control of the ship again or something. But
like what if this is not exactly that, but I was just thinking, I'm kind of surprised they don't have her shoot him and kill him.
Yes.
Like that seems tailor-made for like Kirk and Khan is choking Kirk to death or something, and then MacGyver shoots him from off screen and was like, "Oh, he was such a bad man."
No, she'd have to say, "Now you're history."
Oh yeah, there you go.
I think that's the.
You should write the show.
I'll go back in time and fix this one. I'll talk to Gene L. Coon back in '66. Yeah, I think that. I think I agree with everything that you said. It's what's funny is that I went off on that tangent about how all the reviews are all over the place, but every podcast I think we've done so far with all the guests, we've come to the same score. I'm going to give this one a 3 as well.
Yeah, it's – sorry. I don't know if I went too far off track, but it's like it's fine after I take all that stuff away. It's a good episode. It's not an all-timer for me.
Right, yeah. I'm like you said, I'm surprised they came back to Khan. I think the plot is a little bit wonky. I think it's ridiculous that Kirk beats him in a fist fight at the end. I think that it takes a long time for the plot to really get moving. The Marla thing, you know, this is 66, but even by 66 standards or by like a narrative standard, the woman subplot in this one is just like absurd that this is what they decided to do.
Yeah.
It's vaguely uncomfortable, I think, as like a modern audience when you're watching it.
You mean just like on top of the misogynistic undertones and the fact that you have a Latin American playing an Indian?
Yes, that's yeah. Latin American playing an Indian.
I guess he's Latin American. Yeah,
and just this reveling that the show does and sort of yelling at women and sort of chastising women. Women are always the weak link in this show.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah, it must just be the fairer sex kind of argument from back then, but it's strange.
There's a shot after they gas everybody and they pan over everybody in the bridge who's like knocked out. And I guarantee you they had a PA come over and throw Uhura's skirt up over her ass because she's just like laying on the ground, ass out. Yeah. It's like that's. I have a feeling someone told her to lay like that because I don't think she would do that on her own.
My favorite segment from the gassing scene is it has a narrative, but when Spock, Uhura, they're all in that room and Kirk sort of regains control and he gasses them. Mm-hmm. Scotty gets up and just decks the closest guy to him and then runs out the door.
You know, actually, in that scene, I thought Uhura was pretty badass in this episode.
Yeah, she's
because. She the way that she's, you know, they're trying to get her to do stuff and she's, you know, staring the guy down, even though he's threatening to punch her and stuff. And then after the gas comes in, she does her job.
Yes.
She goes back to that thing and types in a bunch of, I don't remember what she does, but whatever it is, she doesn't just grab her throat and fall over. She goes back to her post and does her job.
No, she's I don't know. I mean, it's nice that they did that because it's a perfect counterbalance to the weakness of the MacGyver character.
Yeah,
like it's at least one strong. He doesn't even threaten. He does hit her a couple times, and she's still.
Oh yeah, he hits her once. Yeah,
and she still sort of goes through it. That was one other thing, I guess, that I wasn't. It's obvious in her case because she's a very small woman in general. But I would have thought that the super characters in Khan himself would be bigger than they are. Like they should. I would have thought they would cast, you know, like above average sized people.
Yeah,
they didn't do that.
I also wrote down, man, 60s background actors are the worst.
Yeah, they're real bad.
Background extras in these shows are the worst actors I've ever seen. They are like every single one of Khan's other henchmen just like stand there like wooden blocks until they have to walk across the screen like wooden blocks to stand in their second place like wooden blocks and just point to, it's just it's so bad.
I enjoyed the when Khan wakes them all up and he's going down the line, he's like, Steven, looking good. He's like, Megan, your hair's looking great. And they're all just reacting to Mondelbaum walking down instead of glad handing everybody. I thought that was very funny.
You know, I also find I was just thinking about casting Mondelbaum as Khan. And I find it that much more amazing that they whitewashed that character even further in Into Darkness.
Yes.
By casting like the whitest person on the planet.
A guy named Benedict.
Yeah. But, you know, I was just thinking, you know, do you think there is an original script somewhere? Like, I feel like the stuff we were talking about, I think the eugenics stuff might have supposed to be. I don't think it's supposed to be as important as we're saying it might have should have been.
Mm-hmm.
That was a rough sentence. Because I feel I was just thinking, do you think the impetus for this episode is the writer going like, how do you think modern people would respond to Genghis Khan showing up? Because I feel like that's what they're getting to when they have that conversation about you can be against him but still admire him. Because you know, Genghis Khan killed millions and millions of people.
Yeah.
But he also, brought the entire chunk of Asia that he ruled into the modern, you know, modern era to an extent. Yeah. I don't know that much about him, but I know he did a lot of great stuff on top of the terrible, terrible things that he did.
Right, yeah.
Do you think it's that sort of thing?
Well, I mean, I do know what the original intent or the original treatment was.
Do tell.
The Khan character was, he was supposed to be a Nordic Superman named Harald Ericsson. This is all honest to God truth. He, in the first draft, I'm reading this now, the character introduces himself as John Ericsson, but is later revealed to be Ragnar Thorwald, who is involved in the First World Tyranny.
Okay.
He's more brutal in this version of the story.
Interesting. So space Viking?
Yes, basically? He's a space Viking. Yeah.
Hmm.
So,
I wonder why they changed it.
I think eugenics sounds more scientific, right? That's got to be the reason. Yeah. They were probably like, we can't have this like fantasy Viking running around.
And do you think maybe it was too Nazi-ish?
Probably, yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking about that. Like, if that sort of admiration is supposed to be where they're coming from. But even so, it's like how – I feel like if Genghis Khan showed up today, I don't know. How do you think – how would people respond to that? Do you give him a talk show or do you put him in jail for war crimes?
I think we'd at least put him in handcuffs, unlike what they do in this. Yeah, I don't know what you'd do. Like,
I mean, he's on money. How do you arrest a guy on money? I think that was Hitler's whole plan, actually.
It's a good question. I think we'll have more to talk about this when Wrath of Khan comes around, right?
Yeah.
That'll be the way that we can look out. So I'll end this episode by saying, Clay, thank you very much for coming on.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me. I was glad I got to watch this one.
Guys, if you enjoyed the content, you're on YouTube, like and the comments, appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, a rating or review helps get the show out there. You can rate us on all your podcatchers. Go to facebook.com/thepenskypodcast. You can go to patreon.com/thepenskypodcast. Me and Clay are finishing up our RoboCop series over there. So you give a couple dollars a month and you get extra podcasts. It's a pretty sweet deal.
And everyone should tune in for the next one because we'll be covering RoboCop 3. And what Wes doesn't know is I'm just going to send him a file of my side of a previous podcast and see if anybody notices because that movie sucks.
Guys, thank you very much for listening. And I'll end it with a little bit of a quote here. Here we may reign secure and in my choice. To reign is worth ambition, though in hell. Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. And that is I guess that's a very little, not well-known Milton line from Paradise Lost, right?
That's a Slayer song, isn't it?
How does Scotty not know the one Milton line that everyone needs to know?
Yeah, it's the only one that people know. I wish he had been like Milton Berle.
And I think what's funny is that he knows that Milton is a Scotsman because he says, "I know I'm being a bad Scotsman here."
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, weird. But Clay, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Guys, thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you next time.